Thank you, Ellis and Jillian, for the music. It was wonderful. It was a blessing. And we look forward to a presentation in just a moment. I'm going to introduce Ellis and Jillian. They've been missionaries with our church for a number of years. They've been married for 5 years, and I didn't remember this, but when they were here last time, that was the first time Jillian had been with Ellis in a missionary presentation on their way back to, Ellis back and Jillian coming to Bolivia. And it's been an eventful 5 years, but a quick 5 years. And they've got two beautiful babies now, and we're just rejoicing with them about that. And I want to just say that they seem to be family. I know a lot of you have a special connection with Ellis and Jillian. And it's a privilege to partner with them down in Bolivia, many, many, many miles away. But in the Spirit of God, He's the same Spirit doing the same work through the same Word of God and through people, through just people. And so we're grateful to be a part. So with that said, Jonathan, if you're ready with that video, we'll start that, and then Ellis will come after the video is finished.
So many people around the world are tired of their old lives and truly want to change, but remain trapped by their sin. People are victims of Satan's lies and their own flesh. In Bolivia, people are trapped by alcoholism, the fear of man, and spiritual darkness. They know about Jesus, but fail to understand that He is their only hope for a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 gives a promise of hope to all. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We, the Narcisse family, are starting Iglesia Bautista Mosso Causai, or New Life Baptist Church, to tell the people of Icla, Bolivia, about the new life they could be living.
Icla is a small village of around 300 people, located in a municipality of around 7,800 people. Most of the folks who live beyond the village of Icla live in small, isolated communities. Our little village is located in a high desert valley in the Andes Mountains. The elevation is roughly 7,700 feet above sea level. The climate is mild, with dry months from April to November, and wet months from December through March. Ellis has been in Icla since 2010, when he went there to work with Michael and Sarah Miller. They had been in Icla since 2008, reaching the Quechua people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In January of 2015, Jillian joined the team in Icla after her marriage to Ellis in 2014. In 2016, the Millers left Icla for another area of Bolivia, leaving the Narcisses in Icla on their own. Advancement in ministry has been slow at times, but we have seen God work.
In August of 2016, Joaquin and Justina made professions of faith in Jesus Christ. They were married a few months later and soon after followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Their faith was tested when their son Liam was born 2 months premature in July of 2017 with significant health problems. A few days after his birth, doctors gave Liam a 10% chance of survival. God chose to spare his life, and he is now a healthy 2-year-old. One of the last things Justina said to us when we parted ways in Icla was to be sure to thank all of you who prayed for her baby. Thank you for the part you have played in this family's life. Please continue to pray for their spiritual growth and encouragement in the Lord.
Vicenta received new life in Christ in May of 2018. She is now growing in her faith. Her children regularly attend youth group and kids club, but none have made professions of faith. Vicenta has not yet been baptized because her boyfriend, the father of her children, does not want her to. Please pray for Andres' heart to be softened to the gospel.
More recently, we were thrilled to see Erlinda come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ after regularly attending church with her husband and two small children over the past year or so. She still needs to be baptized, but she is growing in the Lord. Please pray for her husband, Reiston. He faithfully attends church with her, but says he is not yet ready to accept Christ. These new lives in Christ form the core group of Iglesia Bautista Moso Causai in Icla. Pray that they will be faithful to God and that they will raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Two new lives joined the Narcisse family in late 2018 through adoption, Joyana Rosa and Ellis Martin. People ask how they are adjusting. We assure you that they adjusted quickly. The adjustment took a little longer for Papa and Mama, but we've now settled into life as a family of four. We consider ourselves to be very blessed to have these two precious children to raise for God's glory. Please pray that they will accept the new life that Christ offers at an early age.
Much work remains to be done for Christ in Bolivia. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
In this next term, in addition to seeing our small group of believers in ICLA strengthened in their faith and continuing the children's and youth outreach ministries that we have, we'd like to reach out to some other communities in the area. There are several communities within 15 to 45 minutes of ICLA, but very few people have vehicles to be able to attend services in ICLA. Therefore, we must go to them. Please pray for God's leading and where to start branching out. Co-workers would be a huge help to us in reaching these isolated places. The slow pace of life in ICLA is not for everyone, so we are praying that God will send just the right family, whether Bolivian or otherwise, that would share a vision in reaching the rural areas of Bolivia with the gospel. Would you join us in praying for co-laborers in ICLA?
ICLA is an agricultural community, but farmers have trouble producing large harvests because of the rocky soil and lack of water. We often feel that the spiritual harvest in ICLA is the same. But Jesus said that the fields are white unto harvest, and we choose to keep taking him at his word. Will you pray for the hearts of the people of ICLA to soften to the message of the new life they are offered in Christ? Will you pray for us, the Narcisse family, to be wise and diligent in our service for the Master, and that we would remain constantly encouraged and joyful in him? And will you pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more laborers into the harvest? Perhaps he wants to send you.
Stand before his throne, he will shout, "Welcome in." shout welcoming. This is the best news that we could ever hear. More than amazing, it drives out every fear. By trusting in Jesus Christ, in his saving sacrifice, we
good morning. Thank you for your attention in the video. I hope it was a blessing. We are very happy to be here, and I was just stirred hearing you guys sing. What a blessing to hear so many Christians praising the Lord and thinking about what heaven must be like when people from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation will all be there praising the Lord. And what a blessing to be here with you all this morning and to know that people from Bolivia, other countries, are going to be there singing with us the praises of God. If you brought your Bible this morning, I'd ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. I have to laugh every time we show the video and our kids see themselves. They feel like they're like a TV star, you know? And they always point out the pig and the frog in the puppet shot. It's just funny what kids zero in on. Matthew chapter 11, we're looking at verses 28 through 30 this morning, which is the invitation of Jesus Christ. We all know what it's like to be physically tired after a day of hard work, cleaning the yard, shopping all day, carrying the kids around. Maybe you didn't get sleep or you've traveled. We know what it's like to be tired. I've had a few days like that in ICLA. They have work days where you just go and the community helps out. And they always get a kick when the gringo, I'm like twice as tall as most of them, and I'm always tired and they're just working like it's no problem and I'm about sprawled out. We know what it's like to be tired. But I think, and I believe that we all experience on occasion spiritual fatigue. Not physical, but spiritual. As Christians, we're all seeking to grow in the Lord and to become what he wants us to be. But that is a slow and hard-won process at times. We face a lot of temptation every single day of our lives as Christians. Not to speak of the trials that come along our way because we live in a sin-cursed world. Perhaps this morning you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior. And you're here in church because you want to find God. You want to know the truth, but you're here and there's so many religions. And you don't know what's the way forward. Well, when we're tired physically, the solution is to sleep. Get some rest. One of the best things in life is to be able to take a nap. But spiritual fatigue isn't solved by taking a nap. When you wake up, those problems are still there. If you're here this morning and you're burdened, the invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ is for you to come to him. And these verses teach us that spiritual rest can only be found in Christ. Let's read together these three verses once again. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the chance to be in your house this morning. Thank you for your precious word, Lord, that never changes. and that ministers to the needs of our hearts and lives, that shows us the way that you want us to live. I pray this morning, Father, as we gather around your word and look at this passage that's very familiar, but Lord, once again, that you would apply it to our hearts and lives, encourage us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to respond in obedience in any way that you speak to our hearts. For those that are burdened here this morning, I pray that you would encourage them, all of us, Lord, to bring our cares to you. We thank you that we can do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Spiritual rest can only be found in Christ. And these verses give us two commands that show us how we can enjoy the spiritual rest that God has for us. The first command that we see is to come to Christ, and the second one is to serve Christ. The first command, in verse 28, we read once again, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Where should we come when we have these burdens spiritually in our lives? The verse is clear that it's not to a place, it is to a person, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The invitation is to those who labor and are heavy laden. These are those that recognize their spiritual need, recognize that they cannot meet that need on their own, but that God has the ability to meet it. And the verse promises that when we come, Christ will give us rest. I'd like to look at this verse, first of all, from the perspective of those that don't know Christ, that are unbelievers, that have never personally placed their faith in the Lord. Maybe that's you here this morning. Well, the mistake that so many people make all over the world, in the States, in Bolivia, is that we think religion is the pathway to God. You know, we just gotta go to church, make sure I gotta get baptized, make sure I'm saying these repetitious prayers, to make sure I've got all my bases covered, and you know, just maybe God will accept me when I die, but I don't know. Dear friend, the religion is not gonna save you. The scriptures are very clear that none of us can save ourselves because we're all sinners. We've done things that have offended God, that have broken his law, and the scriptures say that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Religion really is like a heavy burden. And in the times of Christ, he was talking to people that were listening to the Pharisees as their teacher, and they really were impressive people. And they had it all together on the outside, but on the inside, they didn't know Christ. Religion is human self-effort to reach God. But salvation is to be found in embracing what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. He sent him to die on the cross of Calvary and to pay the price for the sins of everyone, and that includes yours. Jesus paid it all and has paid your sin debt. And if you will simply come to him, acknowledging that you can't save yourself, but that he can save you, he will save you and give you spiritual rest. It's very simple. Come unto me, Jesus says. There's not a to-do list that you have to clean your life up and get it all together before you come to Christ. If you are here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the invitation is very clear. It's for you to come to him. I'm so glad that you're here this morning in a church that preaches the word. But just being here won't save you. You need to accept Christ. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is a very familiar passage to all of us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a free gift. Maybe it sounds too simple, too hard. It just sounds too good to be true. But God doesn't lie, and he's told us in his word that all we have to do is to come to him. What holds many people back as well, looking beyond religion, is sin. People love their sin and are not prepared to accept that God wants to give them a new life and to change their life. Dear friend, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. If you feel the Lord working in your heart and you feel the need to come to Him, today is the day. You may not be here tomorrow. Just recently, this week, I got a text from Bolivia, and it was from a friend that was telling me, one of the young ladies that used to come to our youth group before she went into college, Lisette is her name, that she tragically died in a motorcycle accident this past week. She was driving along. There was another motorcycle with two drunk guys on it. They had a head-on collision. And she's in eternity. And we all know that could happen to any one of us today as we go home or go our separate ways. We don't like to think about it, but it could happen. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come. But if you're here and you don't know Christ, He wants you to come to Him. The joy of salvation in Christ and eternal life will never end. So don't halt between two opinions. Come to Christ is the invitation. But as well to believers, I believe that we should come to Christ with the burdens that we have in our life. There is a sense that as believers, we have found spiritual rest in Christ. We are saved, we belong to God, and that has been settled for all eternity. But on street level in our daily lives, if you're like me, there's some hard days that come along. And there's days where you don't seem to be enjoying that rest that we should be having. I mean, Jesus tells us here, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But our daily lives don't look like that. We're not enjoying that spiritual rest that Christ has for us. Why is that? Well, you know, we have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. They work 24/7, 365. Every day there's opposition to our faith in the Lord, every single day. And not to mention the sufferings of life. And as we've gone on furlough, we've been traveling around for about a month now. And I've been quite surprised talking to different folks, the trials that have come along. I talked to one retired man that was telling me, broken in tears, that just recently his son took his own life. And I was talking to the pastor later, and it came out that two people in that church had taken their own lives. And I was just blown away. When you really get to talking, there's a lot of burdens that are out there. If you're here today and you've got a burden of care, perhaps a burden of grief that you are bearing, perhaps you've messed up and you've sinned and you feel guilty. Whatever it may be, the invitation for you this morning is to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Don't feel like this morning that God doesn't care for you, that if you've sinned and messed up, he's ready to just chuck you away. Never think that God doesn't care. All you have to remember is the cross. And that's how much your God cares for you. He cares enough to send his own son to die for you. And he does care. Whatever load that you may be carrying this morning, he cares. And if we could quickly turn to Psalm chapter 55. Well, you know what? You don't even have to quickly turn. You can take your time. There's no hurry. We're always in a rush to find that passage. Psalm chapter 55. The 22nd verse, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a precious promise. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Our hearts are heavy with you, as we know some of the things that have gone on. I didn't have this illustration in my sermon, but I feel like I should share it this morning. When I, after 9/11 happened in 2001, my dad was in the military, a dentist in the Air Force. He got stationed, he was deployed to Turkey. I was a freshman at Northland at the time. And when I went home for Christmas break, Dad wasn't there. He was in Turkey. And I don't think I even got to talk to him once. Maybe I did. But Mom would always tell me, Ellis, pray for your dad. He's struggling right now. You need to pray for him. Okay, and we were always praying for him. When I came home from summer break after that first year of college, it was the first time I saw my dad in about a year. But I could tell that something was not right. And he was struggling with depression. And we don't know what got it all started. He was not someone that was like that his whole life. But throughout that summer, he just was on a steady decline, was not sleeping. It was really hard to see someone you love suffer. Well, the day finally came when his work called us, where is he? And he had left for work. We didn't know. We found a note from him saying that he wanted to take his own life. And to make a long story short, at the end of that day, that's what happened. And I just remember walking out of the hospital that night. There's just no words. Sometimes there's things that happen that you just can't even put into words. It's like a nightmare. What just happened? And despite all of that, God's grace was there. And man, did I love to read the Psalms and to get in his word and to know that we can cast our burden on the Lord because he will sustain us. It's interesting that in the deepest trials of our lives, how God's word sustains us like a rock, and he doesn't change. He's always there for us. And I know that in a crowd this size, there's some heavy burdens out there. But this verse says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That word moved is talking about when you get to the point in your life where you don't have stability and you feel like you're about ready to fall. Any little thing will just tip you over. But the first part of that verse says that we don't have to fall. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. That word sustain means to hold, to take, to endure, to bear, to comprehend. I love that meaning, to comprehend. That through all the trials of life, when you feel like nobody understands you, your Heavenly Father understands. He sees right where you are. He cares, and he's able to sustain and bear you through. I love telling this illustration because it makes me laugh, but it was something that happened in Bolivia with the older fellow that I was riding with my coworker, Mike, my former coworker, in his truck. There's lots of hitchhikers there because most people don't have vehicles. So if you're driving along, it's very common that people want you to stop. Well, this day, an old man climbed into the truck with his little epi, as we would call it, a little burden. I have it on the back table. If you were here in Sunday school, you saw it. A cloth called a yihya that people will fold up, put their stuff in, and carry stuff along. Well, this guy climbed in the back of the truck, and off we went, but he kept the burden on his back. And we were just going and going down the road, and he never set it down. I think we tried to get him to set it down, but the memo didn't get through to him. And we just laughed at, man, isn't that what we do with the Lord? He's carrying us through. But we've got that burden firmly placed on our back. Where are you, Lord? I need your help. Well, he's right there and wants to help us. But we need to cast our burden on him. Spiritual rest can only be found in Christ. Maybe you're trying to drown out your burden with alcohol, with drugs, with immorality. Or maybe you just try to watch TV all day or keep the headphones on because you can't endure any silence. You might be able to mute some of those feelings, but you will never find spiritual rest without the Lord. Spiritual rest can only be found in Christ. And the first part of that is to come to him. But if we could go back to our text in Matthew chapter 11, we see in verses 29 and 30 that there is also the call to serve with Christ. And that spiritual rest is also a life of joyful service to the Lord. Take my yoke upon you, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Spiritual rest doesn't mean that once we are enjoying it, we just plop down on the couch and turn on a DVD or Netflix and pop the popcorn and sit there and do nothing. God has saved us and has us here still in this world because there is a work that he wants us to do for him. If you had nothing left to do for the Lord and you know him as your Savior, you would be with him. But if you're here, he's got something for you to do in this world. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That word learn is where we get the idea of being a disciple of Jesus. And of course, being a disciple means that we follow him. We seek to imitate him and live like him and do his work. But in order for us to be used of the Lord and to do that work that he has for us, we have to take his yoke upon us. It's something that we see all the time at ICLA. They yoke the oxen together and off they go to work in the fields. That ox would not be able to do the work of plowing the field without the yoke. He's a very strong animal, can sit there and do a lot of things, but the job will never get done until the ox submits himself to that yoke, and then he's usable. And the yoke that Christ is mentioning here speaks of submitting our hearts and lives to his lordship. And there's no area of our life where we're holding back from him, but we give everything as an offering to him. Trust me, when you obey, God will give you the blessings that he wants for you. Obedience always brings blessing, but sometimes it's hard to submit our stubborn and selfish wills to his lordship. But you will never live the blessed life to its fullness that God has for you until you submit every area of your life to him. Well, when that ox has the yoke on his shoulders and he's working, he's using his muscles too. He's getting the job done, but it does take a little effort. But that's what serving the Lord should be. There is effort. But at the same time, when we submit to Christ, he's able to use us. And we become useful for his kingdom when we submit our lives to him. It could be that God is calling someone from your midst to be a missionary somewhere else. And if God is placing on your heart that call, never doubt it. Trust him, and he will make a way for you. But for all of us, we are to be serving the Lord. And we need to come to Christ, take his yoke upon us, and learn of him. Does this mean that we'll never have problems once we submit to the Lord and are serving him? Nope. There will be illness and calamity because we live in a sin-cursed world. But God's grace is there so that we don't succumb to despair. But what you'll find that when you submit yourself to Christ, he is a good master. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus loved us enough to die for us. He gave his life for us. He's a good master. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Doesn't mean everything is always easy, but you'll find that when you submit yourself to him, there is a joy that comes from the Lord that nothing in this world can give you. True spiritual rest can only be found in Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, he is the answer. He's the one that can forgive your sins and give you a new life. You have to put off that burden of religion and trying to earn salvation by good works. We have to trust in Christ. Maybe you're here this morning as well, and you're a believer, and you've been carrying your own burdens for a while. The invitation for us is to come to Christ and to find that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Are you tired? Are you weary? Come to Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you that is true. Thank you, Lord, that you do not lie. And thank you that you have promised us this morning that if we come to you, you will carry our load. You're the one that can forgive. You are the one that can forgive our sins and give us a new life. You are the one, Lord, that's able to sustain us in the most difficult moments of life. You are the one that's able to make us useful, Lord, in your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that you would do your work in our hearts this morning. Help your people to find that rest that you have for them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.